My message today is love your enemies. How many of you have somebody that doesn't like you? Okay, I'm talking to the right group. Love your enemies. So if you stand with me, we'll read the word out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And your Heavenly Father, as we come before you today in this time of your word, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and minds, that you would continue to perfect us, to make us more like Jesus. Lord, your word declares it does not return void. So I believe that, Lord, in this time that you're going to accomplish some amazing things in our lives. That, Lord, that the love of God would be made perfect in each one of us. And, Lord, that we can move out in it. We give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. One more real quick announcement. 2911, the Young Adults Ministry is meeting at my house tonight. Delana's making tacos for them. That's that 18 to 29-year-old range. So if you want to know how to get to my house, you just ask Jeanette. She'll tell you how to get there. So, but Jesus starts off with, again, he says, you have heard it said. And he, once again, I want to tell you, these are things that we ought to know because if you've been a Christian, or if you are a Christian, you need to be in the Word. Amen? You need to read the Word for yourself. You need to get. You should be reading this Sermon on the Mount all the time, just so you know where I'm going on Sundays. You know where I'm going next week. I'm going to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm in the Sermon on the Mount. That's the title of this series. But you know, you got to get into the Word for yourself. You need to know what it says. I was telling first service, I don't want to just hand out a Bible to people. I want to teach them how to use it too, amen? I want to go the extra mile with people. On Tuesday nights, we give Bibles out to people that become consistent. And it's a nice Bible. It cost us $20 for them Bibles. And I give them Bibles away to people that are consistent on Tuesday nights. And what we're doing, because by the power of the Word, it brings transformation, amen? And so on Tuesday nights, we're all reading out of the same version. We're all reading the same commentaries out of it. We're all going the same direction. And that's what's a beautiful thing that we're doing on Tuesday nights. Now, Tuesday nights is about, how many of you have character defects? That's what we're working on Tuesday night. I see some of you won't raise your hand no matter what. But I think we all have character defects. And that's what we're working on Tuesday night. It's called Celebrate Life. We're working on getting rid of our character defects. And I think in some of the people, it's working. I'm seeing life. Hallelujah. It's a great thing. So when you give a Bible away, you want to teach them how to go through it. Amen. That's going the extra mile with somebody. That's what we talked about last week. Go the extra mile. Don't just buy a Bible for somebody. Teach them how to use the concordance. Teach them how to use the notes in there. Teach them how to cross-reference scriptures and stuff. Go the extra mile with them if you're going to get them a Bible. Amen. Because Jesus is calling us to know His Word. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're doing this because I believe that Jesus wants to take us to a deeper place with Him. He wants us to have a true, meaningful walk with Him. He doesn't just want us to be Christians that just come to church once in a while, and that's it. He wants us to go deeper with Him, that we have an understanding of what His calling is on us, that we can do the things that He's calling us to. Because I believe wholeheartedly, by the Word of God, that God has a plan for everybody. It's just, are we willing to take the time to discover the plan? Are we willing to press into the Lord and say, Jesus, what is your plan for me? There are some things that are very specific in the Word of God, and I know His plan for us today is to love our enemies. To love our enemies. And that's where I want to start with today. Love your enemies means that we have to, number one, overcome the fears of our enemies. Amen? We have to overcome the fear of our enemy. You know, because perfect love casts out what? All fear. So, when you're in the public or when you're out and you see somebody that's against you, don't be afraid. You know, it's just like, you know, there's so much going on about Muslims in America and what they're doing around the world, the Islamic State and what they're doing over there in the Middle East, the killings and stuff that are taking place. And listen, it is real. I read an article this morning that they're going into cities. The Islamic State is going into cities, and where there's Christians, they're marking the Christians' homes with an N, meaning Nazarene. And they're labeling them, and those are the people that get persecuted. It's happening right now. Now, that hasn't come to America. A lot of people feel that it's coming to America. And you know, if we let it, it will. If we let it, it will. But I do know this, that God is calling each one of us to love our enemies. So today I want to define one enemy that we're against, that's coming against us. And the enemy that's out there that's coming against us is the Antichrist spirit. Okay? Jesus told us in the Word, He said, the Antichrist spirit is here now. And so when Jesus was here, the Antichrist spirit was at work. And Jesus knew it was at work because to be Antichrist, you have to be against Jesus. Okay? So it's a spirit. It's a spiritual battle. The people allow themselves to be caught up in a belief that Jesus is not the Son of God. Okay, so Islam does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jehovah's Witness do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mormons do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So there are a number of religions in America that do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died for us, that He was raised from the dead, and He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. There is a number of religions that do not believe that. That makes them anti-Christ. It doesn't make them anti-you. It makes them anti-Christ. But they think that they have to come against you because you are what? A Christian. Well, if you're not, hopefully you will be before you leave today. Amen? So, God, Jesus is telling us, I want you to love the enemy of the church and Christians that is around you. I want you to love the enemies that you have. And you know, so many times we feel justified in not loving. We feel justified in not doing it. So we have this Antichrist spirit. And I thought it would be good if you hear from a lady that was born in Lebanon who experienced firsthand what it meant to reach out and love the Muslims, but to still have them destroy that country. Because the Lebanese, they welcomed Islam into the country. They welcomed the people. They loved them. And then they totally destroyed that nation. And this lady I'm going to read to you is a lady named Bridget Gabrielle. She started a program here called Act for America. And we have a chapter of Act for America that meets in our facility once a month. And what they do is they talk about the spread of Islam and the Islamic agenda against the church and against America. They talk about that on the second Saturday of the month, RL, is that right? Second Saturday of the month. And I want you to hear a little bit of Bridget's story. She's written books. I mean, she used to be on Arabic television and newscaster and stuff, but that lady has spoken out against Islam so bad that she's very much a wanted woman by them. So, but I want to read to you her story real quick. Bridget Gabrielle was born in Lebanon to a Maronite Christian couple. a first and only child after over 20 years of marriage. She recalls that during the Lebanese Civil War, Islamic militants launched an assault on a Lebanese army base near her family's house and destroyed her home. Gabrielle was 10 years old at the time, was injured by shrapnel in the attack. She says that she and her parents were forced to live underground in all that remained, an 8-by-10-foot bomb shelter for 7 years, with only a small kerosene heater, no sanitary systems, no electricity, and no running water, and little food. She says she had to crawl to a roadside ditch to a spring for water to evade Muslim snipers. According to Gabrielle, at one point in the spring of 1978, a bomb explosion caused her and her parents to become trapped in the shelter for 2 days. They were eventually rescued by 3 Christian militia fighters, one of whom befriended Gabrielle but was later killed by a landmine. Gabrielle wrote that in 1978, a stranger warned her family of an impending attack by the Islamic militias on all Christians. She says that her life was saved when the Israeli army invaded Lebanon in Operation Litany. Later, when her mother was seriously injured and taken to an Israeli hospital, Gabrielle was surprised by the humanity shown by the Israelis, in contrast to the constant propaganda against the Jews she saw as a child. She says this of the experience. She said, "I was amazed that the Israelis were providing medical treatment to Palestinian and Muslim gunmen. These Palestinians and Muslims were sworn mortal enemies dedicated to the destruction of Israel and the slaughter of the Jews. Yet Israeli doctors and nurses worked fervently to save their lives. Each patient was treated solely according to the nature of his or her injury. The doctor treated my mother before he treated an Israeli soldier lying next to her, because her injury was more severe than his. The Israelis did not see religion, political affiliation, or nationality. They only saw people in need, and they helped." See, we know we have an enemy, but God is calling us to learn to love our enemies in such a way that I believe that we could win our enemies for Jesus. Amen. Bridget Gabrielle's purpose now is to make America aware of the terror that rained down on her when she lived in Lebanon. And because they let these people into her country and they loved them. They didn't speak out against them about what they were doing. And it's still happening today with ISIS in the Middle East. They're going and they're killing the Christians. And they believe that it's going to happen here if we keep allowing the influx of Christians to come. I heard another story of an Egyptian man a few weeks ago at the Bible school I teach in. He was there for the open house. And he said that the Muslims in Egypt, when they invaded Egypt, they gave the people 3 options. They said, "You can either convert to Islam, or you can pay extortion money to remain a Christian and live there, or you can die." He said that was the only options that they were given, and many people have escaped. Matter of fact, the pastor that we have for our Arabic congregation is Egyptian. And he knows some stories. So, how are we supposed to love people in a movement that are hateful against Christians, that want to annihilate not only the Jews, but the Christians off the face of the earth? Because that's what they're about. That's the movement that they're in. So how is it that we're supposed to act? Now Paul gives us a glimpse in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. He gives us a few words about this. He says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." And as I was praying earlier, I was thinking about heaping coals of fire on their head. I said, maybe that's just the baptism of fire the Lord talks about that's going to bring that purification to them that they need to be converted to Christianity. Amen? So do good. Do good. But Paul says, feed them and give them drink. And I believe that when we as Christians begin to respond to the Lord through His Word, that we could actually see God move. Now, it does not mean that everybody's going to live, because there are thousands of Christians right now in the Middle East losing their lives that are doing the best that they can to love people. And they're still paying with their life. And if you haven't been following what's going on, you need to check it out. Just Google, you know, ISIS in the Middle East, and you'll find all kinds of YouTubes. It's evil. They're beheading people. They're putting people in cages and they're burning them alive. They're putting people in cages and they're dropping them in lakes and waters and pools and drowning them. I mean, they're cutting off the heads of children. They're doing vile, vile things. But the people of God are still not rejecting their faith. They're making a stand. And God is calling us as a church to make a stand. I'll never forget the words of a Chinese pastor who said to me one day, "Give us what you have, because we'll go where you won't go, because we're already dead." What is Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan going to do to us that our own government doesn't already do? Help us to go where you can't go. Man, that is a holy boldness. They don't care. They will go. And I've been to many Bible schools on that side of the world that are raising people up for that specific purpose, to go to those countries. It's called a Back to Jerusalem movement. And they're looking to raise up missionaries that will go and pave the way back to Jerusalem, back to the Lord, that people will come back to Jesus. Amen. Come to the Lord. There's probably more Christians in China right now, way more than in America. The last pastor I was with in China, he said, there's 200 million believers in China. Man, that's a lot of. He says, how many churches you have? I said, well, I got one, and then we're planning another church in Kentucky. I said, how many churches you have? He says, well, I have 500. I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm not doing my job. You know, there's more to do, people. There's more to do right now. There's people unsaved around us. If a nation like China, where it's illegal to preach the gospel, has more Christians in here, something's wrong. So how does Jesus tell us to love these people? What did he say to do? Well, I believe the next portion of Scripture there is the way that Christ is telling us to love people. Number one, and write this down, underline your Bible, but bless those who curse you. Number one, bless those who curse you. You know, this is for those who would speak out against you. When someone speaks curses over you, you don't curse back. Simple, huh? You just keep your mouth shut if you have to, amen? But he means, though, to speak well to them and not curse them. You know, because, you know, we all like to pray. And we like to pray, you know, even we're going to get into prayer in a few minutes, but this is how not to pray for the one that's cursed you. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I know that Your Word declares that vengeance is Yours. And I pray that You'll revenge that person for me. That, Lord, You would do to them 10 times worse than what they've done to me. See, that's not blessing, okay? that's praying vengefully. That's taking that vengeance. It's like James and John saying, hey, should we call down fire from heaven on them people right now? Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of right now. Of course not. We're to love our enemies. So, but if I'm going to bless them, how can I bless them in such a way? I mean, they don't deserve me to put the blessing of the Lord on them. They don't deserve that. I mean, why would I want to bless a vile person with the things of God? But this is how I, you know, let's just say, I wrote this in my notes. What if someone just tells you to go where the devil is? And you know where that is, right? Somebody tells you to go visit the devil. Okay? And a good response to them might be this. I hope you can have an encounter with the Almighty God so that you don't end up there. Because you have no idea how bad it's going to be there. See, I'm blessing them. I'm not cursing them. You know, and I'm being kind. But so many times when people speak out against us, we want to, what, lash back. Listen, how many of you are married? How many of you want a great marriage? Practice this. Because when you're married, you say the stupidest things. So the best way is to not respond. Love back. Bless back. Bless back. If we do this in our marriage, because James tells us this in chapter 3, verse 10, he says, out of the mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. There shouldn't be blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. We have to learn to speak blessing. Amen? Now, one of the commentaries said this. It says, blessing here does not signify praising them, for that would be sinful. Which is sometimes the sense of the word. It's nor wishing or praying for a blessing on them, which is right and good. But this is the kind of blessing that, you know, that they might find God. That they don't, you know, even a blessing you want could just very well be, well, I hope you don't receive what you're speaking to me. I pray that doesn't come back on you. That might just be a blessing that will just diffuse a lot of situations. But when we respond in the way of the flesh, then the fight is on. And it continues and it grows. So number one is bless. Number two is do good. Now it says do good. And to simply to do good, I want to make it really simple. Don't be bad. Okay. Don't be bad. Don't act bad. You know how to act good, so don't act bad. Amen? Just very simply, don't act bad. That's why I put, don't do bad. Don't respond in a vengeful way to people. If someone hates you with a just cause, repent. Ask them to forgive you. But if someone hates you with an unjust cause, remember, they're committing murder. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 5 here. It's like they're committing murder. So we need to pray for them that they don't receive what they're spewing. Amen? So do good. And when you profess to be a Christian, you go to work and you say, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, and people know they see you pray. The enemy likes to do things, you know. He likes to discover what your buttons are. You know, the enemy knows what your buttons are, Brian. You know, so what the enemy likes to do is when you know, people say, hey, you want to go have a beer with us? And you go, no, man, I'm a Christian. I don't do that anymore. And then what the enemy does is he goes, okay. And he pokes your button so that you can feel the red just rising up to your head. That's what happens to me. The red, my face gets red. When I find myself, it's like, how am I going to respond in this situation? I can't hide the red face. It just wants to, you know, it just comes to the surface. But the enemy will poke you again. You know, he'll poke you because what he wants to do is he wants to ruin your testimony, Holly. So he'll poke you a few times to see if he can get you to respond to the evil things being said to you. You know, I mean, he'll put that person, man, because you, and I know, you hate when people cuss and swear. And then he'll put you right in that room, Kat, with that person that every other word is a cuss word. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you know, Valerie, that's what he'll do to you. Because then he'll try and press your buttons, because Valerie hates cussing. I know she does. That's why I'm picking on her right now. He'll put you around that person that just can't control themselves and to see how you respond. To see if you're just going to love them. I remember when we went out shooting one day. We went over to Rahagas, and we were shooting guns and having fun. And me and Rick Simmons was with me. And the guy that, the range master there, I knew him in high school, but I hadn't seen him since high school. And man, that guy is dropping the F-bomb every other word to me. He's talking, and I mean, he is so foul, man. And I'm just standing there smiling at him and stuff, you know. And finally he says, "So, what do you do?" I said, "Well, you know that church over on Lincoln, New Hope Family Worship Center?" He goes, "Yeah, I know that. I've been in there a few times." I said, "Well, I'm the pastor there now." "Oh." You know, the next time he came, it was a little, because he visited me three times in the couple hours that we were there. The next time it was a little less cussing. By the third time, he was crying, asking me to pray for him because of the things he was going through. Because all I did was just love him. I didn't go to him, Tim, and I said, "You know what, man, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't like your foul mouth, man." I didn't say that to him. I just kept loving him. I said, "Man, it's so good to see you after all these years, you know. I didn't know you were here." I just loved him. I just reached out to him. And like I said, by the third time he talked to me, man, he was crying. "I need you to pray for me, man. I need to get back where God wants me to be, you know." I was like, hallelujah. But just because we loved him, and I just laughed with him. He was being, I mean, it curled your toes. He was so foul. But I didn't care. I just loved him, man. And as I loved him, he was just like, "Man, by the third time, Jesse, man, he was, I need you to pray for me." I'm like, "Man, okay." I'm like, "Clean it up, man. We're at the gun range, you know." But do good. Amen. Do good. Hallelujah. You know, when we don't fall into sin, God will take care of that situation. God will take care of that situation. When we err on the side of love, God will take care of those that are being bad to us. God will. But when we do good, then we've done our part. We've protected our testimony. Amen. We've glorified God in the midst of it. And we're letting our light shine. And it says it's bringing hot coals on their head. Okay, so it's doing its job. So number three, I want to tell you, he said to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Pray for those who despitefully use you. It's really hard to hate somebody you're praying for. Okay, so when you know people are using you and coming against you, start praying that God would touch them. Start praying that they would have a Saul experience on the road to Damascus. Lord, I pray that they would just have that encounter with you. Because, I mean, it was Saul that was instigating stoning Stephen. It was Saul that was vile and pulling the Christians out of their home. But the people didn't go after Paul. Saul, they prayed for him. And on that road to Damascus, he had an encounter. So begin to pray like never before. We're praying Friday night. We're praying for your children Friday night. We're praying for your kids. We're praying and believing for salvation to come to your kids, that they wouldn't be in rebellion, that they would walk with Jesus. We're praying and interceding for their lives. Intensely, we're really going after praying for your kids. Those that have walked away from the church, those that have been wandering from the faith, we're praying they come back, amen. And we prayed for finances. We had a table set up in there. And people put their bills on the table. Man, we just started laying hands on it. We prayed. Everybody gathered around that table, laid hands on the bills. And we started calling in, "Debt free, debt free, debt free." Amen. We're believing that God is going to answer our prayer. Amen. So we pray. We pray. We pray for. And listen. If you have something against somebody, when you go to pray, forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. I was reading, we talked about prayer last Wednesday night. It said this, it's a really strong statement. It said, "God does not hear the prayers of sinners." It's in the book of John. He does not hear the prayer of sinners. Wow. No wonder you meet somebody and they'll say, I prayed and God didn't hear me. Of course He didn't. You have to believe in Jesus. He says if you worship and obey Him, He will hear from heaven. You have to be a worshiper and you have to be obedient to the Lord. He says, and then He'll hear. But to be a sinner and not be connected with Jesus, He's not. The only prayer I think He's going to hear is that of repentance. But He says, God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Wow. That's a heavy word. Because I meet people all the time who say, yeah, I prayed once. It didn't work, man. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason. But what God is calling us to pray. And when you pray, pray believing. Amen. I pray when I pray for people, I believe that what we're praying for is going to happen. I believe today that the mountains are being moved right now over your health, over your finances, and over your relationships. As you stepped out and you came, I believe God is responding. And He also tells us this. He tells us in Psalms chapter 55, verse 17, to pray out loud. Don't pray in your head. Let it come out of your mouth. Amen. He said, pray aloud. Let me read you the whole thing. Psalms 55. I want you to understand why I would even say that. Pray out loud. 55, verse 17. Well, I'm going to start at verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God. Everybody say, call. And the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. Okay, verbalize your prayers. Amen. Let it flow out of your mouth. Don't just think your prayers, but speak them out. Cry out to God with a loud voice. Amen. That's what Friday night is. There's nothing quiet about Friday night. We pray in tongues. Okay, we pray in agreement. You know, we're focusing in on, like, when we came in, we focused on glorifying God, exalting Lord. So we spent the first 10 minutes just praising God, and just lifting up the name. And then we started praying over specific things. We prayed for health. We laid hands on those that needed health. And we called out names of people that we know need health. We came into agreement. See, we're all praying. It's like when you look at this bottle of water. Now, for me, it says Nestle's Pure Life right there. But you don't see that. You see something different. You know, some of you might see a barcode. Over on this side, there's a picture of a lady. Over here, there's what's in the water. You see, but we're all looking at the same thing. But we're all saying what we see. When we start praying in agreement, we can all look at the same thing and pray that one thing. Because I may see something about health, you may see something about health, you know, and you may know a scripture, I may know a scripture, but we make the proclamation together about health, good health, amen, when we pray in agreement. And that's what we need to do as the body of Christ. We need to pray, but pray into agreement for the salvation of those that are Antichrist. Amen? We need to believe that God wants to bring them in, that God wants to restore or save them, and to believe that Jesus died for them. But the whole idea of it is so that we can be children of our Father who is in heaven. That's what it's about. That we can be children of our Father who is in heaven. There's a purpose in everything that the Lord tells us to do. It has purpose. And it's on us to trust Him with what His purpose is. Because when somebody comes against you, when somebody speaks evil against you, it's really hard to not respond. It's really hard to be good. It'd be really hard. And now, if I speak evil to my wife, it's going to be hard to get her to make my dinner. You know, but she's so gracious to me, she does it anyways. And that, you see, I'm talking about bigger things, but some of this is right in our own homes. That we have to learn to be good. We have to learn to bless. We have to learn to pray for each other. Because right in our own home, it can be really tough at times. So in all of this, love is the key. Is the love of God in you? Do you love people no matter what? Can you begin to reach out in the love of God and touch somebody for the glory of God? Now our sister Valerie, she's going to be starting evangelism team. Wave at everybody, Valerie. So yeah, amen. If you feel called to go out, I just ordered her 3,500 Bible tracts. For I'm like, you want to do this? And we're not going to mess around. Okay, here's 3,500 tracts for you. Get them out there. Because, you know, we're going to go out and bring them in. You know, when somebody told me the other day, I've been inviting everybody I know, but they won't come. It's kind of like when the wedding feast was happening. You know, the bridegroom invited all of his close friends and relatives, and they wouldn't come. So the story goes, the bridegroom said, well, just go out into the highways and byways and invite whoever will come. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and invite people to come. I heard a pastor yesterday, Jelon and I were watching TBN, and the pastor said, you know, he said 90% of people only come to church because they're invited. 9 out of 10 people say they'll go to church if their friend invited them. Amen? Start there. And when that doesn't work, so we'll go to the highways and byways and we'll invite them to come in. We'll do it in love. It's easy to love those who love you. Tax collector does that. The Pharisees did that. It's easy to love the people that really like you. But Jesus is asking us to go the extra mile to love those that don't love us. To work it out in our hearts and our minds that when we're going through the market and we see a Muslim lady, that we don't back up and go down the other aisle, but that we go down there and we greet them, hand them a tract, hand them an invite to church. That we start stepping out of our comfort zone and we begin to go the extra mile and we find that one that wants to commit their life to Jesus. Amen? God is calling us to love like never before. To conquer the Antichrist spirit that's in the land. It's going to take love as an action verb. That it's not just something we say, it's something we do. We make them a meal or we give them a drink, Paul said. Love is an action verb. And God is calling us to step out in love and bless those that don't love us, to do good to those that don't love us, and to pray for those who curse us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this word today. Lord, because it challenges every single one of us. Lord, I pray that today that the love of God would just fill us overflowing. That, Lord, that our hearts could be open wide to just receive. Why don't you just stand and just raise your hands to the Lord today? Lord, that we could receive the love that you want to impart to us today. And Lord, that as men and women of God, Lord, as children of the Most High God, that, Lord, that love would just fill us overflowing, Father. Lord, so that we can begin to step out in action to love people into the kingdom of God. That, Lord, that we would bless those who curse us, Lord. That we would bless them, Father God. That we would do good to those who hate us. And, Lord, that we would pray for those who spitefully use and persecute us. And, Lord, that you would take care of those negative situations for us. Lord, even as Paul said, when we give them food or we give them drink, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. And I pray that Lord, that those coals would be a baptism of fire upon them. A baptism that's going to bring a purification for the kingdom of God. And in the same way, Lord, you brought that fire upon Saul, and he became Paul, the next apostle. Lord, I believe that in our community around about us, there are people wandering that need this love. There are people that have been hateful and evil that need this love. They need a God encounter. And Lord, I believe that us here, the body of Christ, may be the only Jesus that people are going to see. So I pray, Father, that you fill each person here with love. And that, Lord, that we would walk in it as we go out these doors today. I pray a covering over every person here, that you protect us from evil, Father God. Lord, that your healing would be upon us. Lord, that your blessing on our finances would flow. And Lord, that you would be glorified in what we say and what we do and how we respond to the evil that's coming against us. Lord, that you'd be glorified in our lives. And if you believe this and you receive this in Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to ask if the altar workers would come forward right now. You know, maybe if you just need some special prayer today, you're going through something, you just need somebody to come into agreement with you. I'm going to ask if you just get out of your seat while the music just plays. And you're dismissed if you need to go. But if you need prayer, we want to make it available for you today just to receive prayer from these men and women of God, and that you don't have to go out with what you came in with. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. We're so glad that you worshiped here today at New Hope.